You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rain Roberts, using my brand new microphone. How are you all doing? Amazingly, this chapter is actually set on campus at Belladonna University. I know, right? Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 14. Viola Vale unveils the secret stacks. Belladonna U was a different place during the holidays. The looming buildings had an extra hint of Gothic to them, even in the middle of the day, because the city's gargoyles only liked to hang out here when the noisy students were out of the way. It was late morning on New Year's Day, and the heat was rising. None of the cafes were open. Even the vending machines were looking abandoned. There were bound to be a few desperate postgrad students wedged into study corrals, but even the most freaked out thesis grinder was still likely to be in bed, hungover, or both. Viola loved walking through campus when no one else was around. There was a weird kind of power to it, a smug self-righteousness mixed in with a delicious naughtiness. Like she was getting away with secretly doing more work than anyone else. Belladonna U had always felt more like home to her than her actual house. Also like her actual house, it was more fun when no one else was home. Today felt unsettling, though. And not only because a barely conscious Chauvelin was being dragged along by Sage and Jules, or because most of their crowd were in their pyjamas. Viola still had the wrong magic, and her last swig of coffee was beginning to wear off. Usually she blazed into uni all warm and comfortable, her power sparking off the various magical hotspots on campus. Normally, she was in control. Today, it was taking all of her considerable inner strength to prevent spontaneous snowmen from appearing on the paving stones. Once she figured out why her ridiculous impulse to kiss Ferdinand Chauvelin last night had somehow switched her powers with Jules' nightshade, she was going to kill someone. Questions should be asked about why Viola has the private number of a certain dreamy Dem Thaum Phen prof in her phone, teased Jules, clearly not worried about how high he was on the list that Viola planned to murder with her bare hands. "I have all their numbers," she told him. "I'm a postgrad. Who else are they going to text at 3 in the afternoon when they need someone to do their marking?" "Where are we going?" Hebe asked suddenly. It was the first thing she had said since leaving the Chauvelin house. "There isn't a library this way. You said he was meeting us at one of the libraries." Viola had led them all away from the main plaza, down the grassy slope, towards a very narrow gap between the Saranac Cafestel Coral Hall and the Unreal Humanities admin hub. "We're going to the Cloven." "That's not a library," Hebe said, sounding frantic. "What even is that?" "Sure it's a library," said Jules with a smirk. "The Bellstar Cloven Memorial Library and Secret Basilisk Archive. Everyone's heard of that, right?" Hebe had gone pink in the face. "There is not a library on this campus that I've never heard of," she insisted. "I would have heard of it," she lunged at Sage, "if you knew about this and never told me." Sage shrugged. "Don't know why you think I'd know. My blood's not sparkly enough for this mob. No way they're going to share their secrets with the likes of me." "But you're..." Hebe looked so offended, it was almost funny. At least she'd stopped moping about Chauve. "Sometimes I really hate this university," she sighed. "Is now a bad time to mention that I knew about it?" broke in Holly. Hebe turned on her twin in a rage. "What? You don't even care about magic studies." Holly shrugged. Campion used to bring me here all the time when we were dating. Has really good shadowy stacks for making out in. Hell yeah, it does, said Jules, and high-fived her. He almost dropped Chauve to do it. The alley between the two buildings was narrow. Sage and Jules and Chauve had to go sideways to make it through. On the other side, the sunlight was blindingly bright again. Viola was starting to wish she had brought a sun hat and a water bottle. At least she'd thrown on sandals when she first heard the fire alarm. Once or twice she caught Deck looking at her, like he wanted to ask if she was okay. It was important to shut that right down. She was fine. Everything was fine. She knew what she was doing. "There is an amphitheatre back here," Hebe declared, still outraged about warlock family privilege. "How did I not know? For the last 3 years I was at a university with an amphitheatre." "It's not a real one, if that helps," said Jules. "It's the secret entrance to the library." "Why would that help?" Hebe hissed. Viola went down the wide granite steps of the amphitheatre. It was at its most piercingly sunny, right in the centre of the stage. "Don't tell anyone you heard the password from me," she warned them all. Hebe made a scoffing sound. "Hope you remember it," said Jules. "I always get stuck on the second paragraph." Viola took a deep breath and began to recite. "Dr. Belstar Cloven was awarded the Circe Cenotaph in 1883 for her groundbreaking work in 4 of the 9 most significant magical fields." "Some password," said May, a little while later as they all headed down the secret tunnel that had opened on the 100th word of Dr. Cloven's academic bio. "Way beyond the usual, include at least one capital letter, one number and one dance emoji." "Dr. Cloven wanted to make sure that the generations of the future remembered her achievements," said Viola. "For some reason, that was a significant issue for her. Jules?" "Hey, don't look at me. Oh, it wasn't your great-great-great-uncle who stole Cloven's research on lost Trojan potion ingredients and scored the Quinzel Medal when he published it under his own name." "Don't bring Uncle Dippy into this. He's delicate." "He's still alive?" asked Deck, looking creeped out. "Nah, he haunts my mother's second favourite car. He used to haunt the downstairs bathroom in our old house, and she really thought that selling up would get rid of him. But professor ghosts are the worst. They stick around because they've got so many grudges built up, and a high tolerance for boredom." "Here we are," said Viola, regretting she had even started this topic. Giving Jules an opportunity to complain about his family ghosts was never a good idea. Hebe made a small, punched-in-the-stomach noise. It was, to be fair, a beautiful library. One of Viola's favourite places on campus, despite the palaver it took to get in here. The hexagonal space was lined with bookshelves, spiralling out from the central atrium like petals on a flower. The carpet, walls and leather furniture all shone in deep jewel colours, emerald on one side, ruby and sapphire on the other. There was a spiral staircase leading down, down into the depths beneath the campus. There were at least 17 floors of archival storage and reading chambers below them. And Viola had heard rumours there were extra floors that only tenured professors were allowed to access. "Professor Fordyce should be around here somewhere. He said he wasn't leaving the library all day," she said, glancing around. A dry throat cleared. Viola looked up to where the professor stood on the mezzanine above them, leaning on a railing in his shirt sleeves with more bookshelves as his dusty but decorative background. These were the notorious snogging stacks. The skeevier side of basilisk privilege was the ongoing horrid suspicion that at least some of your friends might have been conceived there. "Professor Fordyce," Viola said brightly. Her friends would never forget it if she called him Blaze in front of them. "You said I could bring you our problem?" The professor glowered at her. He was far too attractive for his own good, not nearly advanced enough in age to make up for the kind of tall, dark, handsome qualities that had undergrads fluttering around him in packs. Luckily, he cultivated such a strong aura of crankiness that most students were content to crush on him from afar. Viola was proud of herself for not developing even the slightest crush on Fordyce this year. Last year. Luckily, his habit of dropping copious amounts of barely paid work on her desk was annoying enough to cancel out his solid shoulders and brooding good looks. Also, he was magically and academically brilliant, which meant he wasn't her type at all. If she had learned anything from her relationship with Deck, it was that she liked a man with talents as far from her own as possible. Good thing she and Chauve never tried to... Ugh, no, don't go there. You did say I could come over, she said now, put off by the extra stormy expression on the professor's face. You, yes, he muttered. I wasn't expecting a pyjama party or a rock band. He looked at Holly as if he couldn't quite believe it, and then at Hebe like he'd never seen twins before. Then back to Viola, apparently relieved there was only one of her. What is this, Viola? It's kind of an emergency. Viola was glad she wasn't applying for jobs requiring his personal reference right this minute. She'd have time to make up for whatever terrible impression she was making right now. It's New Year's Day. What kind of emergency could possibly prevent you from being hungover like normal students? Jules and Sage both waved at him, and Chauve blinked vaguely at the professor, who frowned. What have you dragged me into, Viola? That's the High Quill's son. What's wrong with him? Chauve retched once, and then vomited black blood all over the emerald carpet. Jules flinched, dropped his side, and accidentally set fire to the nearest chair. He broke up with my sister. So we hate him now, said Holly. That part's not relevant, said Hebe, flushing red. Also, I broke up with him. Sure, but I can't hate you, said Holly. It's complicated, said Viola, hoping desperately that she had picked the right professor. She really needed someone else to be in charge of all this right now.
I can see that, said Professor Fordyce. Luckily for you, I have a conference paper to procrastinate over. Why don't you douse Nightshade's half-assed arson attempt, find shirts for the people who don't have shirts, and start at the beginning?
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.